The owner of a diner recently sparked the latest episode of an ongoing cultural debate when she supposedly yelled at a toddler who she felt was being disruptive and noisy in her restaurant.
The kerfluffle continued and, if you can believe it, expanded on the internet, with the toddler's mother and the owner of the diner going back and forth online, sometimes with swear words on the part of the diner owner, over their takes on the matter. The bigger issue at hand, is it okay for kids to make a little noise in a restaurant? Where's the line between a little and a lot of noise and disruption? What do we think about the rise in no children policies at some higher-end restaurants?
Here to help us sort it out right now is Ann Immig. She's the National Director of Listen to Your Mother, a national series of readings in honor of mothers, and she's the editor of a book by the same name. She blogs at Ann's Rants. Ann, good to have you back.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here for the hard-hitting news portion of today's program.
All right, so Ann, set the scene for us. There's this diner in Maine. Couple parents are there with their child, 21-month-old. What happens next?
Well, it sounds like it was a packed house. So you have like multiple anxiety dreams playing out in real life here. Like you have the waitress is not being able to keep up with the orders. You have fussy children, and it was raining outside, if you believe the facts. And reportedly, the baby wouldn't stop crying. We don't know for how long. It was either 40 minutes nonstop or not that much, depending on who you talk to. And the proprietor came around once and sort of said, you need to leave, and toss some to-go containers their way. And then, just again, depending on who you believe, they're waiting for their food, not getting their food. And she, finally, the proprietor just slammed down her hands from in the middle of flipping pancakes and yelled at the toddler to be quiet. And the toddler was quiet.
And apparently that worked. Right. And so this has sort of exploded online. And this is, you know, this is a particular situation, but it's a universal for parents, a situation a lot of us who are parents have been in, or even if you've been at a restaurant where there's kids next to you and you're dining without them. This is something a lot of us debate internally, or we play it out. If you're a parent, you might go to a kid-friendly place and think it's going to be okay. Maybe a diner seems like a kid-friendly place, but things don't always go as planned, right? There are a lot of variables that can unfold.
There are, and everyone's tolerance for, you know, upset children and sort of the levels of performance come into play. Like if you're somebody who's very aware of the other patrons, and if you're the owner and you're very aware of all your patrons being subjected to the crying, right? There's all these layers, and it's confusing, and I think most parents think that they will jump up and remove the child, but there's all these extenuating circumstances, right? Like how many times you've had to do that today or this week, and how hungry you are as a parent, and how you keep thinking, well, maybe it's only going to be 5 more minutes until the food comes, and all these variables, right? And in this situation, it just turned into this huge combustible thing, especially after the fact, which I think is really important to make mention of.
Right. This wasn't exactly an example of de-escalation afterwards.
That exact word. I've been thinking about, like, everyone chose. You could choose to escalate or de-escalate. And I think everyone chose to escalate. I mean, from the mom was the first one who posted on the Facebook page, if I'm correct, her dismay. And I'm a fan of doing business behind the curtains. However, whether it's personal business or business, and I can understand, you know, wanting others to know what happened, but she had some name calling from the get-go, and then as these things sort of do, they spiral and become take on a whole different life of their own.
Do you think it is ever acceptable to shush a kid or a family? If you have the power, I guess you could ask them to leave your establishment. But do you think it's okay? Like, if you were out dining with your family, maybe it's a date night, no kids there, you want to have a quiet night, family next to you has their kids, but you don't really want to deal with that. Is it okay for you to go over and say, hey, guys, could you keep it down or move?
I mean, I can't personally imagine doing that, but I think there are people who can probably pull it off with grace. I don't know. I mean, the minute you decide to go over and interrupt somebody's dinner, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. And I also think, like, this has been going on since the beginning of time. Like, can you remember a time in your childhood where some, like, maybe we would call it a grouchy old man or grouchy old lady, like, looked at you with a stern word who wasn't your parent, and how sobering that was? And, like, you survived, right? And this child was 2 years old, maybe? So I think the 2-year-old is the one who should be absolved completely. She was being a 2-year-old, right? It's all the grown-ups
who get the blame.
Sort of devolved.
It's a tough one, and there are restaurants, and I've been reading mostly about this in California. some places making no kid policies. This is a no kid restaurant. And that's an interesting one. It's one solution to a problem. And some children, you know, do get brought along to fancy places. That's something that does happen. Sometimes they may be disruptive there. What do you think about that? Is it okay to declare no kid zones and just be upfront about it?
I think if it's better to be upfront about it, honestly. Like, if you aren't a restaurant that wants to tolerate kids, better for parents to know that, what they're walking into. And I think it's really hard when you're a parent of small children to imagine that one day even you might not want to hear other small children. We all live on a spectrum of our tolerance for this stuff. And I also think it's really annoying with this kind of thing on social media because it becomes this false dichotomy of parents and non-parents. And that's just not true. It's also, as I get older and my kids get older, my tolerance of crying babies changes. And it's not out of anger. I mean, it's one of those proven, like, torture techniques is crying babies. It's upsetting to us on a primal level.
Is that true?
I don't know. I could have made that up.
I know it is great.
I sound super convincing when I'm wrong. So I might have totally made that up. But anyway, it provokes something emotional, and 5 minutes can seem like 40 minutes. And yeah.
Well, we're talking right now to Ann Imig. She blogs at Ann's Rants, author of the book called Listen to Your Mother, talking about a diner owner in Portland, Maine, who yelled at a toddler who was, she thought, being disruptive and noisy and disturbing her customers. And of course, as these things do, it went viral. Lots of people taking sides in this cultural debate about how to handle noisy kids, whether or not it's okay for people to get involved and say, hey, you're being disruptive, please leave. In this case, it devolved pretty quickly. There were swear words tossed around online, and it's a big debate whether you're in team diner owner or team parent. I don't know. What most of us have been on both those camps, I suppose, at one time. How do you deal with it now, Anne? Your kids are older.
Right.
But what do you think? If you had, as someone who blogs about these things, what do you recommend to people?
Well, like, I'm neurotic. So I'm the person who, like, fears taking up too much space in an empty coffee shop with my belongings. So I probably would have been, like, out there in the rain. I don't know. But I think that's the thing, this whole, like, I'm team one or team the other. It's really easy to look at life that way on the internet. And I think people love the easy outrage of a topic like this, where you can be really judgmental and there's no moral imperative to do anything about it. So I think these kind of things happen all the time, but they're not brought to the internet attention. Maybe more and more they are. Maybe this is the new 15 minutes of fame. But I'm not a person who loves conflict, so I can't really imagine myself getting the situation. Even if somebody spoke to my child in a way that I didn't like, I would address it with them. But I don't think I would. I tend not to take my most personal problems onto the internet.
Do you think that the diner owner had any responsibility to her other patrons? This is just one family, keep in mind. If she was hyper-attuned to everybody else, seeing grimaces of pain, did she have a responsibility to go over there and try to stop it?
I don't know. It sounds so stressful to me. I mean, it just sounds like, I mean, I think we've all been on vacation in one of these cafes where it's raining and everyone's waiting like an hour for their food. So everybody's already in a terrible mood and starving, hangry, hungry and angry.
Right.
And so I'm sure she was feeling the pressure. And I don't know if she went overboard, like trying to perform that she's taking care of everyone. I mean, she clearly went overboard if allegedly what happened is what happened.
What do you think for rules of thumb for parents who take their kids in? You and I were talking before we went on the air, and it is a spectrum. Everyone's perception of these things is different. One person's tolerance level is not another's. But are there general rules of thumb that you can offer up?
Well, I think that there are general rules of thumb, like always keep tons of food on you if you've got little kids so they're never starving. But, like, things happen. You turn to get your goldfish and all of a sudden there's nothing left in your bag, you know, or you were starving in the car and
goldfish
you ate
crackers, right?
Goldfish crackers.
Just to clarify.
Or, like, if you're me, like, I ate the granola bars myself because I was starving in the car, you know. So I think even really good parent, well, I hate that word, good parent, but all parents have a game plan, and sometimes, like, it all just comes crashing down. So, yeah, have food on you at all times, if possible. And, you know, anytime you're walking into a restaurant and there's a huge line with kids, it was like the mom knew. She knew it was going to be a nightmare. It doesn't sound like she had a whole lot of other choices.
You sound very level about this. So I'm guessing you're also going to urge tolerance for the people who might be at the diner or the owner, that they should maybe look at the diner owner. Should they look at that, at this family and say they might be having a rough day too?
I do. I tend to fall down both sides of most subjects because I can also see that like everyone has their upper limit. If the crying really did go on for 40 minutes, that's a really long time in a confined space. And I would think, I would urge people grace to other people, but I probably would have gotten up and left, you know, if it was too much for me. So I think people do, I like to think people do the best they can. And I guess I would urge people, do the best you can. Be nice.
We're talking right now with Anne Imig. She vlogs at Anne's Rants. She's the author of the book Listen to Your Mother. We're talking about this latest episode in a cultural debate over noisy kids in restaurants and where the lines of responsibility are drawn after this episode in Portland, Maine, where a diner owner yelled at a toddler.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. I think probably all of us have been in this situation in one role or another, or maybe multiple roles over the years. So what is the obligation of the parent of a noisy kid in a public place like a restaurant? Do we need, as the other people in that situation, to cut them more slack? Well, how do you handle these situations in your daily life? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking right now with Anne Imig. She blogs at Anne's Rants, and she's the author of the book Listen to Your Mother. We're talking about the issue of noisy kids in restaurants. After a diner owner in Portland, Maine, who yelled at a toddler who said she was disrupting people's meals at a restaurant when that child was being noisy.
This went viral on the internet, an online dispute. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Not about that, unless you were there on the off chance, but about how you have dealt with this situation as a parent, as a patron of a restaurant, maybe as a wait person or owner of a diner or restaurant or other public place. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. We have Sandy with us in Madison. Sandy, hi.
Hi. So my folks would have grabbed the fussy child, taken them out to the car, and either calmed them down or paddled them, whichever was necessary, and brought them back in after they were calm.
And that is one tool in the tool belt there to remove a child from the situation. Thank you for your thoughts on that, Sandy. And taking the child away from the situation. Again, it was raining, but I don't know. Is that something parents should be maybe quicker to do once in a while?
I was just remembering when my child was 3 and terrified of some masks in a wall of a restaurant and was screaming nonstop, and I was in the car trying to hold him and eat my dinner at the same time. So, yes, I think that's like the go-to for a situation.
I was struck by Sandy using the word fussy because I kept, when I was a new mother, I kept reading that word in baby books, fussy. And I learned that was code for screaming. It sounds so benign, but it means screaming. So I don't know. So even the definition, how we talk about it, is kind of tempered. You don't really know what you're talking about.
And everyone's tolerance is so different. And it's changing, you know, as your children age. And it's hard to remember what it's really like to have a fussy 2-year-old because they're not rational. They are the lunatics in this situation, a hungry, tired 2-year-old.
All right. Well, thank you, Sandy. Let's go next to Randy in Sauk County. Hi there.
Yeah, hi. Raised 4 children. Had this happen to me, the 3rd or 4th one. I can't remember exactly which one it was. And you've got a whole hungry family there and so on. This is what happened. Fantastic. The chef or the owner came out, had a big bag of food, somewhat tailored to what we had ordered, and just said, I'm very sorry, however, please accept this token of our appreciation that you came, and bring your family back sometime, and please, if you could, now not mind to take your child and go, well, first of all, you're embarrassed anyway that the child was there, but that seemed to ally him with us, and gosh, it gave us a way out, and we still had food so the kids could eat that were starving, and so on. Fantastic thing that the owner did, and I just wonder if anybody else, I wanted to share it.
Right. Well, thank you, Randy. I that's a very delicate way of handling a situation like that, one that I suppose could have worked well in this scenario. What do you think about that method?
That's a class act right there. That's compassion. That's grace. And that was before the internet.
Before the internet, right. Well, it would go viral these days for a good reason, maybe.
That's right. That's right.
And that may be a model. So maybe that's something people need to think about, learning new techniques for dealing with these situations as they arise. Thank you for that, Randy. And we're going to go next to Daniel in Eau Claire. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. I have 7 kids, and I've never had that problem. I think that's a parent's problem. They're not handling them kids right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm hearing me on the radio.
Yeah, you can go ahead and turn it down, and we won't get the echo.
Oh, okay. If people can't handle their own kids, then the kids are handling them.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the thoughts. Parents need to be in charge. Basic lesson?
Yeah, and I think we all learn it the hard way. We're never perfect. We're doing our best. Sometimes it doesn't go well, and you have to regroup.
Right, and I think this was the first child, or at least the only child of these parents. So sometimes, I guess, a learning curve, maybe, you think?
Yeah, I think there's always something to be said for maybe your first reaction is defensive, and then you look to see where the lesson is. And maybe it was one of those times where nothing could have been done differently. Who knows?
All right. Well, Daniel, appreciate your call and your thoughts there. We're going to go next to Kara in Appleton as we talk about the case of a diner owner in Portland, Maine, who yelled at a child who was fussy, you know, to put it one way, or yelling in a restaurant and maybe disrupting the other patrons there, talking about what you do in that situation and how you feel when you're in that, either as the person without the kid or the person with the kid. We're talking with Ann Immig. And back to Kara. Hi there.
Hi. My comment is I don't have any kids, and I understand parents and they can't control everything about their kids, but it would be nice if parents would actually understand the single person without kids and take them into consideration. It just seems that it's always the other way around, that the person without kids has to understand the person with kids. And it would be nice for once if the parents would understand the people without kids don't want to hear it, and that they should do something about it, either excuse themselves or apologize to the people without kids, because it just seems that the kidless people always have to be the understanding ones, and the parents shouldn't have to be understanding to us.
All right. Point well taken, Kara. Sometimes when you've got a child, that's where your focus is. Is that true? Do you think there is something there, that people without children are the ones who have to make all the allowances a lot of the time?
What do I think?
What do you think, Anne?
I think that, you know, I said earlier, I'm not really sure it really breaks down to people with kids versus people without kids. On my Facebook on the way over here, somebody said, who's a mom, said she remembered complaining about having to sit next to a crying baby on the plane. So I think that it's really understandable for people not to want to have their meal ruined by fussing. And it would be really frustrating if you're always being told, like, that your opinion matters. And I'm sorry if that is her experience. That's disheartening to hear.
Well, thank you, Kara. Appreciate that. And what do you think? Do you agree with Kara? Do people without children make more allowances, do you think? Or what do you think about tolerance? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And we go next to Mark in Columbus. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Just a couple of thoughts. It doesn't bother me at all when babies or toddlers, are loud. I don't think they can really allow for that. But if they're older, and this happened to me once, I knew the parents were professional people, and their older teenager was very loud and very rude to their parents. And something you said made me think of what I would go back and say to that girl, because she would be able to handle, to process what I would say. And what I would do is walk up to the table and just say really loudly, hello, and kind of sit there for a little bit and then see what the response is and say, well, hello, I wanted to introduce myself because you've already, I wanted to introduce myself and interrupt your meal because you have already interrupted mine. And I think that kind of would make them think a little bit more, and I think you would be a little bit more, would take the onus off of you being the bold person to go off. I personally couldn't do that myself, but I think that's just one thing you could say to somebody to get them to think about, you've already interrupted my meal. I'm here to interrupt yours.
Okay, Mark, thank you for that, giving it some thought there. And any final thoughts on how to tackle this as we wrap up here?
I'm just sitting here, like, shaking my boots, thinking about how when they're 2, you can put them over your shoulder and leave. But when they're, like, 15, it's going to be harder.
It gets harder.
I just urge people to try and be patient and compassionate. And sometimes stuff is hard, and it's one meal out of life.
Anne, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks.
That was Anne Immig, National Director of Listen to Your Mother, and a national series of readings in honor of mothers, book and show both. She blogs at Anne's Rants.